Hello and welcome to the latest exciting installment of the Bad Wolf podcast. I'm Martin, and joining me on this episode, I have actor, writer, comedian, impressionist Tom Lenk. Now, you probably know Tom best for his role as Andrew in Buffy. Let's just jump right on into it.
So I'm now joined by the world's foremost Tilda Swinton impersonator, Tom Lenk. How you doing?
Oh my gosh, is that going to be my... Will that be on my tombstone? I don't know.
That's your obituary written right there.
Oh my gosh, am I going to end up in Las Vegas? Like, years from now, will that be my job? Like, Tilda Swinton impersonator. I mean, there could be worse things. Who knows?
Yeah, there's worse. Have you ever heard from Tilda about your impression?
No, but we've, at the Fringe, when you're handing out flyers, we were mostly sold out. And I'm like, I'll just, you know, I got to go, like, put my time in anyway. I'm standing there handing out flyers, and this girl takes a flyer from me, and she says, "That's my auntie." I said, "What? That's my auntie?" And I looked at her, and I thought to myself, "Oh my God, yeah, that it, like it looks." I could see the family resemblance. Anyway, it was her niece, and she came to see the show, and we were so nervous. I gave her free tickets, put her in the good seat, and afterwards, she just. Oh my God, I love it. I think she was a student there at the University of Edinburgh. And I think then she offered to go hand out flyers with us. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to exploit you like that. And we took a selfie with me in costume. So I don't know. Some of her friends have come, those friends and like her stylist came to see the show. So I think she's probably heard about it. Also, my theory is like, come on, don't you want to produce us on the West End? Tilda Swinton presents, Tilda Swinton answers an ad on Craigslist. I mean, that sounds like something she would do.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
My friend was describing a movie that is out right now, only in theaters, will never come out digitally. Oh, I can't think of it. It's a movie that she's in right now. So it just seems like.
Yeah, it's kind of kooky.
Yeah, anyway.
So you're here to talk about your Edinburgh show. Lottie Pratchett Took a Hatchet. How did you get involved in this and what can you tell people about it?
The director from my Tilda play is in this one with me. It's kind of how I got on board. And also the writer of the play who's also in this one as well. They wrote a bunch of plays that we read during the pandemic that we did on Zoom to just like keep ourselves busy and to raise money for various theater companies, et cetera, during the pandemic. So I started getting involved with that. And that's kind of how I got into it. The whole vibe of it is this very like camp, over the top, hilarious, sort of queer retelling, not retelling, a queer parody of the Lizzie Borden tale.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like that. Yes. Yeah.
So it's kind of a spoof of that. And it's insane. It's so weird and hilarious.
This won't be your first time at Edinburgh. What do you like about the festival?
Well, have you been?
No, I keep meaning to, but I've not even been to Scotland before. So I should probably get around to it.
Martin.
Yeah, no, I've got a friend who's a comedian that's performed there. And that's kind of makes it even worse. That's not bad.
Where do you
I'm in London.
Well, here's my pitch to you. It's only a 4-hour train ride. And that sometimes is the total amount that I would spend in traffic in Los Angeles for the day. So it's just a nonstop 4-hour train ride. Maybe it's like 70 pounds if you buy your ticket early. If you have a friend up there and you can crash at their place, that's always great. But because I think hotels is the thing that gets expensive. There's over 3,000 plays just happening at the Fringe, plus the Edinburgh International Arts Festival, which is like the bougie festivals also happening. And you can just go see a different play every hour of the day, starting at noon all the way until like 2 in the morning. And like you can see a show in a shipping container. You could see a show on a bus or above a pub, in an old church, in classrooms. Many of the classrooms at the university have been converted. Everything is just turned into a performance venue. You know, it's not going to be a fancy theater that you're in.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily a fancy set. Every hour is something new in that space. It's just a wonderful kind of magic feel of music or theater, comedy, dance, acrobatics. It's all happening there. That's my hard sell on the Fringe for you. Okay. What was your question? What
do you like about it? But I guess you've just explained that. It's kind of like a creative mecca.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I steal that?
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
of course.
Stealing that. Yeah, it is a creative mecca. And I will say, you know, as I said, driving around in Los Angeles for hours at a time, traffic on the daily, and, you know, doing my auditions and, you know, being on a TV show is wonderful and it pays the bills, but sometimes you don't have a lot of say in which ones you're booking necessarily. I'm delivering the medical information on today's episode of Grey's Anatomy. I've never been on Grey's Anatomy, but
you're in House.
I have been. Yes, I was on House. So I've done the medical shows. So it's not like creatively fulfilling necessarily, but sometimes it's exciting and you get treated very well. Sometimes you get treated very poorly. I won't say on what show that has been, shows that was on, but The Fringe has turned into kind of like an artistic and creative recharge for me, where you get to go do, you know, I went to drama school and like, it feels like, oh, this is what, you know, this is kind of like the extended version of that. The sort of the mad theater camp that I always wanted to go to.
It's like the movie Fame, but in a whole city.
Oh God, no, it's not that it's not that annoying. There's not people dancing in the streets. Don't worry. That would be, actually, I take that back. There probably is. No, there is, because there is this, the silent disco. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They give like city tours and you wear headphones and it's a silent disco and people are dancing and singing, and those are annoying because you can't hear the music and you're just like, oh God, there's those people singing. I will survive again.
How did you get started dressing up as various celebrities? Because you went viral a couple of years ago.
Oh yes. Someone yesterday said I had broke the internet with that. I'm like, oh, thank you. That's the ultimate compliment. I'll take it. I was just doing that because I saw, I think it was a 2016 Met Gala photos, and it was like a space robot theme or something. And I thought, oh my God, I just was like, what is fashion? It is so subjective. I could make these in my sleep. These look like, some of these look like trash. I could assemble trash on my body. And I made one photo that was kind of, this is before anyone was really following me on Instagram. I made one photo that was sort of like everyone, here's everyone at the Met Gala. And then I thought, oh, let me get specific. And I thought, oh, I'll just make some this week. And then it took off and people started reposting it. And then if you haven't seen these folks, it's basically I recreate, not anymore. I got bored and I stopped doing it. I would take red carpet outfits and I would recreate them with trash and recyclables and things that you could find around the house. So I thought I would do as many of those Met Gala looks as I could. Then it just took off and I'm like, okay, well, I'll do this until it becomes a TV show. And it didn't, but I did it until I got bored. And that was about when the pandemic hit and I'm like, I'm done. And then I moved and I got rid of all of my craft supplies. And I thought, why don't I take this creative energy and I'll put it into actually doing comedy videos and making video content, which is, you know, more in line with what I trained to do. So.
Yeah. I really enjoyed your podcast, Trash Talk. Have you got any aspirations to bring that back?
Oh, the Trash Cast. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I was trying to exploit the Instagram and that sort of brand of trash and everything. Oh, gosh. Turns out, and I was doing it with a podcast company, and oh God, yeah, as you know, a podcast is a lot of work. I thought it would be easier to get friends and celebrities on the on the show. But anyway, I had a good run of it. I stand by it. It was a fun idea. I made people bring me two objects, one that was trash and one that had significant value to them. And I would try to figure out which was which. But now I have a podcast with Felicia Day called Undressing. It started as Undressing Bridgerton and Undressing The Witcher, and now we're just undressing whatever we happen to be watching. And that's easy because we had a little break because Felicia got COVID.
Oh, no.
But that's easier because it's just us and we can talk to each other every week.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any recurring co-hosts, or is it always just you and somebody else?
There are a bunch of other guys that I record with. At the moment, it's just me because it's the hottest day the UK's ever had. So I was the only one that was willing to sit in a living room today.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
Forgot. It's the what's the hottest day? What does that mean to you? What
is
the
40 degrees Celsius, which I think 90, is about 101 in certain
Fahrenheit. Oh, 100?
Yeah. I think
Wow.
Yeah,
That's some Palm Springs weather for you.
Yeah, we're not used to it.
Is it all over the UK or just
pretty much just London at the moment? But yeah, everywhere's a bit hot.
Is everyone high? Well, you guys don't have air conditioning for the most part.
No, not for the most part.
What is everyone hiding inside? Or are they out laying in the sun?
Yesterday, there's a lot of people out, but today it seems mostly people have stayed in. My kids stayed off school today.
What? Oh,
yeah, yeah. The school called and said they can't come in. So
what's hilarious is that when I grew up here in Southern California. No air conditioning at these old schools. Sometimes in September there would be like 2 weeks of this kind of weather. Yeah. And we'd just be in there in our classrooms just cooking, falling asleep because it's so hot. But I guess we're a little bit more used to it. I'm sorry you had to.
That's all right. It's fine. Tomorrow it drops down to like 26, so we'll be
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Yeah. And I think in Scotland, it's still only about 22, 23. So you'll be fine.
Oh, okay. Good.
You come over. Yeah. So it would be remiss of me to get you on and not ask about Buffy. You played two characters in Buffy.
Well, not everyone always knows about the first character. So I applaud your research.
Thank you.
I played a vampire named Cyrus in season 6. And, I met one of the casting associates at like a casting workshop where they go and like meet, you know, people just starting out or new people or people who are doing co-stars that want to do guest stars. Anyway, and she brought me in and booked that. And the makeup took a few hours. The thing that was a little stressful was I still don't know how to contact lenses in, and they, if you don't know how to do it, because they had these yellow sort of eyeballs, they have like an optical technician who's there to, because you go and get you go to an optometrist and they give you an eye exam essentially, and then put these things in. And then they have to come to set and put them in for if you can't do it. And oh my God, I held up the filming and it took like 40 minutes to get them in my eyeballs. And they finally had to like turn off all the lights. I just couldn't, and I was crying. It was just like my eyes were being poked. I don't know why we didn't try showing me how to do it myself, but I just could not. And like, meanwhile, clock's ticking and you're like, you know, the lowest person on the, in the pecking order, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm holding up all of filming with my stupid contact lenses. Anyway, but that was very fun. But then they had a rule that if you hadn't shown your face, if you'd been covered in prosthetics, you could come and audition for other roles on the show. And I actually auditioned for other roles on Angel. I auditioned for the karaoke team on Angel, and I didn't get that. Oh, wow. You had to sing a song. I sang a song. A couple other things. I ended up getting part of Andrew, which was originally Tucker. But Tucker, this guy had appeared on another episode. Tucker wasn't available. So I was auditioning for the role of Tucker, but then they changed it to be his brother. Oh. There you have it.
So my friend Jason would never forgive me if I didn't bring this up, but he wanted me to tell you how much Andrew meant to him as somebody that was growing up at the time, questioning his own sexuality and coming to terms with it. And yeah, he just wanted me to tell you how much that meant to him to have a character like Andrew on screen. I mean, is that feedback that you've heard a lot from the queer community?
I haven't started hearing it until the last couple of years, actually. And maybe it's because kids that were, you know, watching it in their preteen or teen, who discovered it in their preteen or teen years, are sort of, you know, adults now. And the weird thing was, like, I didn't know it at the time because it was never specifically said that the character was queer. And I just did an interview yesterday where I was talking about, so pardon me if I'm recycling, but at the time I thought I was like the other two guys. Like, we were these, just these like straight, you know, comic book nerds that were, you know, obsessed with that whole thing. And I was obsessed with wanting to be like our leader. And I wonder if like kind of subconsciously, they kind of, as the writers got to know me more, were kind of taking my energy in. And it was also a time like I wasn't out to every, like, you know,
sure,
to everyone necessarily. Because like at the time, like you still had to come out to every single person that you meet. It wasn't so much as assumed back then. And it was also like, not, you know, you couldn't just, you don't, you wouldn't know like which crew member. There can be a lot of, there was and still can be a lot of, you know, kind of bro-y energy, you know.
Sure.
There's still a lot of like Trumpers on the crew. And when I say crew, I mean like a lot of the like transport guys and people rigging the, you know, the sets and camera stuff. It's still like a predominantly male field, and it's, which is horrible and annoying. So a lot of that sort of energy does still creep in. So you just never knew at the time, like, oh, is it safe for me to be myself in front of these people? Because I was in front of the cast, obviously. So, but yeah, it was, anyway. So at the time, the character wasn't, you know, necessarily, maybe the character himself was on a bit of a journey. And also like you didn't have a character, an openly queer character in those days, unless it said, described it in the thing. So whether they were being subversive or whether people are now, you know, cause if I, here's my backstory was I was just playing a straight guy and I wasn't, but it doesn't really matter, right? What I was playing, because I myself am constantly, you know, projecting queer representation onto the characters of Bridgerton. Why is Eloise not a lesbian? I'm angry about it. So yeah, so this is me just rambling about like, yeah, if someone saw themselves in me, amazing. And like how cool it is, even if I wasn't, you know, consciously playing that thing. And if they were picking up on me personally and my energy, that's great that someone in the queer community could see themselves in a role or see what they were going through. And I could see like if you were, because to some people, oh yeah, he just was a straight comic book nerd. Because like why was Jonathan not this? Why was he? Why were they all not? Mm. Did they all kind of have gay vibes? But they were also obsessed with wanting to kill Buffy and also date her, but also maybe be her. So I don't know. Like there's a lot of ways you could go with the representation of it. And so like, it's the amazing thing about watching a TV show. There's no one there telling you what you can and cannot think about a character. And I do it all the time. So yeah, I love that. God, you get me started on a topic and I'll keep going. That's what a podcast is for, right?
That's true.
Is hearing people ramble and get off topic? Eek, I hope so.
What was it like when you crossed over to Angel?
I remember hearing at the time I was replacing somebody that was unavailable. Like, because they'll write a character for somebody and then they have to be like, I hope they're free, or I hope if it's someone that's appeared before. And I can't remember if it was, maybe it was Michelle Trachtenberg, somebody, I can't remember. It was written for somebody else and they couldn't do it. So then they rewrote it for me because obviously I was available. And yeah, I remember it being it's so funny because like sometimes I have like, you name an episode, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. And then name another one, I have no memory whatsoever. I don't remember much about Angel. I'm trying to think about any fun details for you. Oh, I know. I made my own prop because I wanted Andrew to be obsessed with Beckham. I love, I just spent 10 minutes being like, well, my character I thought was straight, but why don't we put, I could just put him under the LGBTQ label of questioning. Right. Sure. But at the time I was going through a phase of being obsessed with David Beckham. So I decided Andrew was, and I made myself a lunch bag because there was, I think there was lunch, or maybe I decided he was going to be eating lunch because he'd just gotten off the plane. I drew the flag of Great Britain, the UK flag. Would we call that the Union Jack?
Union flag, yeah. It's Union only flag. A Union Jack if it's at sea, apparently.
Got it. Yeah. So I drew the Union flag on a lunchbox and made sort of research, so I did it accurately. And then I had food, and then I had a notebook. So if you want to rewatch it, here's some little Easter eggs for you. I had a notebook, and I'm like, oh, they'll never get the rights for a David Beckham-themed notepad, so I'll just draw his face. But I imagine it just looked like me with my haircut from season 6, because I think I let my hair grow out on Angel, which I really regret. I just look like a hobbit. It was a bad choice. But anyway, if you see before I flip the pad over, it's a little drawing of David Beckham.
I remember the flag on the bag, so I'll have to go back and watch that.
Well, just know I did it myself because I knew they weren't going to have any notice, because I was just going to show up on set and be like, hey, I want to, can you give me a notepad with David Beckham? And I don't think most actors are crazy like me when it comes to props. I generally enjoy having a prop, and a lot of times, unless it's not in the script, they're not going to. They don't want you to be messing with props, sure, because there's continuity issues, etc. I hear Cloris Leachman was like that. Do you know who that is?
I've heard the name, yeah.
Cloris Leachman. She was in a lot of Mel Brooks movies. She was in Young Frankenstein. She was on lots of Broadway things, and she had her own show in the 70s. She had a spinoff of, or she had a popular character on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Apparently, she just constantly was like, had to have something in her hand. She was constantly like grabbing things from the set. But it does make things complicated, because like then you have to keep doing that in every take. Yeah. Otherwise, they can't edit the various different camera coverage together.
Do you find that helps you focus the character if you're holding something?
I'm not a method person. But I like to like use my imagination and like, oh, what would the character, since you can't control necessarily what they're wearing, you do have a say in like what they're holding and what they're interacting with. And, you know, sometimes someone else is telling you how you're moving, where you're going. So I guess it was a fun way to sort of put your own little stamp on the character. Yeah. But like that, things did pop up. Like I remember I wanted to be drinking a Capri Sun in one of the scenes as Andrew. Occasionally I would be like, I was wearing a SpongeBob t-shirt to the fitting one day, and I was like, hey, can I wear this as my character? And they said, let us see if we can get clearance from Nickelodeon, which is at the time, yeah, I guess Nickelodeon was owned by Viacom and Fox was its own thing. Now it's Disney, but yeah, they had to get approval from a completely different company, but they got it. I remember thinking that was so cool that I got my SpongeBob shirt. And no one ever noticed. It's not a thing that anyone ever asks about.
Heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, just know SpongeBob is for you people. I've discovered there's not a lot of sci-fi SpongeBob crossover necessarily.
There should be.
What the writers would be talking about when they would get into tangents and in the writer's room kind of turned into our dialogue and the things that we were referencing. By the way, a lot of times we had no idea what we were talking about. Like, I think our first day filming, the three of us in the trio, me, Danny Strong, and Adam Bush, like, here you go, here's the Dungeons and Dragons dice, so just start playing. How kind of them to assume that we would know how to play D&D. We did not. We had to have someone explain how it all worked. Sometimes we didn't know the things that we were referencing. In a really dumb move, one of my lines was like, I'm bored. Episode 1 bored. I honestly thought, wow, this is really meta. Like, this character is referencing that this world that they're living in is a TV show. And like, it's referencing that there was that first episode of Buffy. And like, I think like, even like, also doesn't matter what, like, no one can see your inner thoughts while you're filming. The camera can't see your training. The camera can't see your backstory that you've created. Thank God, because I think it was like only until somebody was like, oh yeah, episode 2 and blah, blah, blah. And then someone started mentioning that it's a Star Wars reference, which would be episode 1 would be
Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace. There we go. And those were, you know, universally hated by the sci-fi and nerd community at the time. And so maybe they still are, probably.
They've kind of had a bit of a resurgence now. People have kind of reevaluated them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, well, now with like the Obi-Wan show coming out. So anyway, that's how stupid I was at the time. Sometimes things that I would say in real life would make it into the, this is how the me started creeping into character. There was a line about swimmers here that I think Drew Goddard put, I think he wrote that episode. I think he had heard me saying something like, I can't go in the ocean. Look, I have sunburn. I've got swimmers here. I can't. Some that somehow made it into the characters. I did figure out how to play the didgeridoo. It's much like a brass instrument. I'm a trumpet player. So you play it like you would a brass instrument and then you hum at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So it's a double resonation sound. You have the vibrating of both your vocal cords and your lips.
You work with Felicia Day a lot, obviously, with the new podcast. Did you guys meet on Buffy or were you friends before that?
Yeah, we met on Buffy. God, she had to wear that stupid hat for so many episodes. By the way, that was her. It was this rainbow striped hat. I can't remember if she wore it in her audition or she wore it to the fitting, but they're like, oh, we love that. And then that was her costume. But like, she just kept having to wear it every day. And then finally it was like, do people wear the same hat every day? And like, also they were trapped. The characters were trapped in that house for a long time. And so would they be wearing the same outfit? And then I think they just kind of decided like, okay, we're going to establish that they brought changes of clothes at some point where they had to go to Target and get something new at some point. Met there, became friends there. And she actually was in an improv group with friends that I'm friends with now separately from her. So we just had a lot of friends in common as well. And yeah, we were during the pandemic, we both started watching Bridgerton and we were texting each other like, oh my God, this show is so horny. Oh my God. And then I think it was she that suggested it. She said, should we do a podcast about this? And I'm like, yes. And then we were trying to come up with a name with it. And she was like, well, I mean, we like want to undress all the characters, right? They're so sexy. I'm like, yes, that's the title. It's been super fun. It was kind of like a fun way to, you know, pass the time in the pandemic. But now we realize we're obsessive TV watchers. Do you watch The Witcher?
During the pandemic, yeah. Yeah, I think the pandemic changes us all into binge watchers.
Yeah, I have an unhealthy relationship with television now.
I kind of miss all that free time now, though.
Yeah, although it's not over. Why do we think the pandemic's over? It's not, but...
That's true.
I did turn into a bit of a hermit, and now all I want to do is stay home and watch TV with my dog. It's interesting because our numbers were much better when we watched The Witcher. I think our audience members liked that better, or people who maybe follow us on other things, so... I think we might do another sci-fi. Are you a Star Trek person?
Casually. I kind of like it, but I wouldn't say I'm a massive fan.
I was into TNG in high school because...
Yeah, that's my series as well.
My parents watched it, and so I just kind of watched it with them, and then I got into it and was deeply attracted to Captain Picard before I really knew what was up. But it was so funny that like I also assumed he was 65. I started watching Discovery during the pandemic, and then I kind of took a break, and now recently I've been binging. I binged all of Discovery, binged all of Picard. Ooh, that really, chef's kiss to Picard, really, had all the TNG references and characters reappearing that I needed. And then now I'm obsessed with Star Trek Strange New World.
Yeah, that's the one I'm currently watching.
God, Captain Pike's hair is perfect.
It's amazing. It's a work of art.
It is a work of art. It is crafted. Like, I need to know. I got to meet the hair team. I got to do some internet research and see if they've done any sort of hair tutorial. It's got to be a 10-step process, at least. I need the behind-the-scenes footage of him getting ready in the hair department, because that's the best head of hair on television. People, binge yourself some Star Trek. So good. There's so much you can watch right now. I'm really into it.
I just signed up to Paramount Plus and I'm addicted to Catfish. You ever seen that?
I've never watched that show, but it really kicked off a whole thing. I might have to check that out. I too, well, if you're in America, I think you get, you currently can get a year of Paramount Plus free if you have T-Mobile.
Oh, nice.
So take advantage of that. Yeah. So I turned into a hermit and now I just don't want to leave the house. I just want to cuddle the dog and watch Star Trek.
Okay, Tom, I'm very conscious of the time and I know you've got a few more of these to do. But before we leave, why don't you pimp show one last time?
If you happen to be in or near Edinburgh, if you live in Glasgow, it's just a 40-minute train ride. You can be there and back in one day. Come and see me in Lottie Platchett. Took a hatchet. I play Lottie's brother, who's had his pelvis removed due to a bout of pleurisy, which becomes a comedic thing in the... There's a whole reveal of my character that I won't ruin, that's amusing. And it's insane. Women are going to love it because it really draws a lot of parallels to the treatment of women at the time and to what we're currently going, are currently going through. So yeah, it's a good time and I hope people come see it. Yay, Fringe.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate this.
Sorry I'm late. Sorry, audience. I was late. And let me know when it's up.
I will do. I'll send you a tweet or something.
Okay. I'll retweet you.
Okay. All right. Cheers,
mate. Such a pleasure.
All right. I hope the show goes
Stay
well.
Stay cool. Stay cool. Get some ice cream today.
I will do.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, how great was that? I'd just like to thank Tom for his time and remind you all that Lottie Pratchett Took a Hatchet is in the Assembly Roxy upstairs at 8:35 p.m. the 4th to the 27th of August, but not on the 17th at the Edinburgh Fringe. So if you are in or around Edinburgh on those dates, please go and check out his show. And maybe tell him you heard about it from us. Okay, thanks for listening.